Chapter 11.
I could practically taste the murderous energy in the air as Ash and I prowled through the darkened woods and back to our manor house. Our clothes were torn and bloodied from the onslaught, and I felt a deep sense of freedom as I came to realize the coven was finally gone, and the bloodsuckers weren't going to cause any more issues with my mining organization. Of course, there was still the issue with the incubi, but that hardly counted as concerning. Until they showed their ugly faces, I was both settled and satisfied. As we returned to our darkened manor house, I noticed the imps had left, but they'd cleaned up every spot of blood from the floor. It almost looked as though nothing had happened here. Not that anyone else who came around would care, but if someone had stumbled across the area, they wouldn't instantly think my lover had been on a killing spree. Our kitchen was well stocked with a vast selection of fine foods, so before we cleaned ourselves up, Ash and I created a feast, which we sat down and ate. Once our feast had been devoured, we took a few buckets of water up to the washroom. The bathing tub that had been full earlier on was now empty, so I assumed the imps had sorted it as they cleaned the house. If I knew the imps as well as I thought I did, then there was a high chance they'd use the water to clean up the blood, just so it didn't go to waste. Thanks to my growing connection to my infernal blaze, it took no time at all to get the fresh water boiling as hot as the rivers of the hellscape, and tonight I reveled in the familiar heat. Ash and I washed each other slowly to rid our skin of the revolting vampire blood and guts, and the only light in the steamy room came from the silver moon that shone through the trees. It sent a glorious sheen all over Ash's smooth, pale skin, and I couldn't take my eyes off her incredible breasts. Her glittering nipples began to harden the longer I massaged the soap into her, and I could sense her arousal grow as I brushed my hands across the swell of her breasts more times than necessary. Neither of us spoke a word, and the only sounds in the room came from the gentle sloshing of water and our breaths that came out in deep, even pants. My cock began to harden as Ash worked her way down my abdomen, and she rubbed away at the blood which had soaked through my shirt to my hips. Then she continued to roam around until she came to my inner thigh, and I gave up attempting to wash my demon goddess when she grasped onto my rock-hard cock.
"Do you remember what we'd spoken about in the marketplace?"
Ash asked coyly and stroked my dick.
"Remind me again," I ordered. I couldn't recall anything, especially with her hand tormenting me as much as it was.
"I said I could also be in control. I think it's time for me to be in command for once, don't you?"
"Be my guest."
I grinned at the wicked glint in her pink eyes.
"I also said you might not be able to handle what I have to offer, but I suppose we'll see."
"We will."
"Now, get up."
I abandoned the bathing tub at once, and I'd already started to forget what we'd been doing there in the first place. All of my attention was locked on the beautiful woman in front of me while I toweled the both of us off, but her dangerous, wandering hands kept tormenting my cock and balls non-stop. I thought I was going to reach my climax then and there, but then Ash gave me an evil smirk, took hold of my arm, and led me toward the bedroom. I stared at her sculpted ass the whole walk up the stairs, and when we reached our bed, she placed one hand on my chest and pushed me down onto the sheet. She didn't say a word, but her actions did all the talking as she pointed to the bedpost above my head. I stayed laid out for her as I took hold of the wooden beam with my arms stretched above my head, and I already knew what her game would be.
"Now, don't let go until I tell you otherwise. Understood?"
"Yes, ma'am." I nodded and grinned.
"Tell me you understand,"
she replied in a smoky tone. "I understand."
"Good."
Ash smirked like a heathen.
"If you let go of that bedpost, I'll let go of your cock."
Ash bit down on her plump lower lip as she took in the sight of my enormous penis in front of her.
I noticed the calculation in her eyes, like she was trying to work out what to do next. And I had plenty of ideas to offer her, but I knew she was in command this time. She wouldn't accept anything I said either way, so I waited while my dick throbbed hungrily, and I resigned myself to letting her do as she pleased with me. But as soon as Ash began to climb onto the bed, I felt the urge to let go of the post and to place my hands over her hips. I clenched my fists as hard as I could to control the desire, and if I were to squeeze any harder, the entire beam would have splintered into tiny pieces. The beautiful fiend straddled my waist and let out a sultry sigh, and she rolled her drenched pussy lips over my aching cock. It was pure torment, and I loved every second of it. But watching her writhe might have been my favorite part. Her icy pale body was perfectly formed, and every curve glistened from the moonlight, while she tempted me for several moments. Then Ash scratched her nails down the center of my chest, and without warning, she lowered herself down and took my cock deep into her tight tunnel. Oh, fuck! You are soaking wet!
Only for you.
My back arched at the pleasurable sensation, and the post creaked from the force of my grip, while shots of energy raced through my veins. I instantly wanted to grab hold of my little fiend and have my way with her, but Ash smiled coyly at me and began to massage her breasts as she rocked her hips against me. Her pink eyes gleamed with power and sinful pride, and seeing her above me like this was one of the most intense feelings I'd ever experienced. The sense of utter control she gave off while she rode my cock, and the desire to touch and feel my lover in my hands, drove me wild. But the need to explode and pour my demon seed into her began to take over the moment she opened her mouth.
Yes.
Ash moaned and pinched her glittering nipples, and her movements gained in urgency.
Do you like that? Do you like the way I fuck you?
I barely had the ability to talk while I warred against the urge to take her in hand, so my response came out in the form of a groan with only a couple syllables thrown in.
Tell me you like it, Atticus.
Ash ordered in a smoky tone.
Tell me how good I make you feel.
You're positively wonderful. I groaned as my grip on the post tensed even more.
Tell me you want more.
I need more. I need to devour you and make you scream from the force of my cock, and then I need to hear you beg me for more.
But you won't do any of that, will you?
Ash said with a taunting pout.
You'll let me have my way tonight, and only come when I say you can.
I grinned as a puff of smoke seeped from my lips, and Ash began to slowly raise and lower herself on my rigid cock while she waited for a reply. She puckered her plump lips and bent forward so her heavy breasts dangled deliciously above me, and my core ignited with arousal at her little torments. It was all I had not to bend her over and spank her tight ass right then, but this was easily the best torture I'd ever been subjected to, and I didn't want it to end. I will obey you, I growled and watched her breasts bounce in front of me.
Good.
My lover moaned, and she sank her hips down with a quivering sigh to finally bury me deep in her tunnel again.
Now, don't say a word unless it's to beg for more.
Oh, fuck. My beautiful fiend was absolutely insatiable in all things she did, and tonight was no different. Having my cock at her disposal and myself under her control seemed to intoxicate her, and she giggled and moaned while she fucked me, sucked me off, forced my tongue into her pussy, and bit me as much as she wanted. Her nails tore at my skin one moment, while her soft palm massaged my balls the next, and more than once she teased me with her tight asshole, only to change her mind at the last second. I gritted my teeth and kept telling myself not to punish her, and I groaned through the pleasure and pain my hellish lover lavished on me. I satisfied myself with watching her climb all over me in several positions while she climaxed over and over again. And when she started ordering me to bite her nipples while she bounced on my cock, I gladly obliged with a vengeance. Eventually, Ash was too desperate for my demon seed to torture me any longer. At her trembling command, I released a torrent of flaming hot sperm into her teasing little body, and my two hell powers surged and mixed together as potent ecstasy shot through my sinews. All the waiting had awakened my most primal hunger, and I had to rein myself in so I wouldn't burst into flames right there, but I still heated enough all over to make the bed smoke. Ash screamed with delight as my angry cock pumped more and more cream into her greedy pussy, and she bounced and wailed for several minutes until my balls were finally drained. Then she collapsed on top of me and kissed damn near every inch of my twitching body while she whimpered,
"Thank you,"
over and over again. She was doe-eyed and drenched in sweat while my seed gushed from her spent pussy, and every little kiss reminded me how badly she yearned to please me. Once we both recovered from the incredible evening, Ash and I curled up on the bed, and I stroked her soft skin with the back of my hand so she would purr a bit for me. I traveled down her arm, over her stomach, and then up her chest in that order, and the soft sounds of her contentment brought a smile to my face. It had been an entirely sinful and blissful evening, and slaughtering the last of the vampire coven only made the night even better. We'd been so caught up with all the blood and sex that I hadn't even gotten to mention what I'd learned from Sevelia today. But as soon as I was about to open my mouth, I noticed Ash's eyelids fluttering sleepily. "Good night, my love," I murmured instead.
"Good night, master,"
Ash moaned, and her silver lashes closed over her bright pink eyes. She let out one last purr as she snuggled close to my chest, and within seconds, she'd fallen asleep. I followed quickly behind, and I spent the few hours left of the night with my demon goddess wrapped in my arms, and the scent of our sex and arousal still mingling in the cool night air. The following morning arrived sooner than I expected, and I woke up to the sun shining in through the windows and feeling like I'd missed my morning meal. Ash was already awake, but from the blissful look on her face, I knew she was quite happy to stay exactly where she was in my arms.
"Hello,"
I smiled at her sleepy eyes.
"Good morning, my lord. Did you sleep well?"
I did,"
I nodded. "I'll have you in command every night if I get to sleep like that at the end of it."
"Yes, please,"
Ash giggled. And then she left a soft kiss on my lips before cuddling her cheek on my chest.
"What's on the agenda for today?"
"I actually meant to talk to you about that. I have a task for you to complete for me, and it stems from the information Sevelia gave me."
"Oh?"
Ash sat up to look at me. She had an eager expression on her face, but I took a moment to admire the way her bare breasts plumped together before continuing. "Sevelia managed to find out a little information for me about the priest and his standing with the church, but I'm going to need some help if we want to put our plan into action. She can clock when he leaves and returns to his estate, and she knows a bit about the places he tends to go, but she can't track him when she's being contained in her hovel. Apparently that's how she spends most of her days. We need to know where the priest goes so we can decide on the best time and place for our attack to go down. And that's where you come in."
"You want me to track him?"
"I do. If you can, pick up on his scent, too, to make it easier for us to follow later if something doesn't go according to plan."
"You know I love to stalk new prey."
"There are a few things to be wary of. I don't want you to follow him near the church, so listen to Sevelia, because she'll know his schedule to some degree. If she says that's where he heads at that time of day, remain where you are and wait for him to return. We won't be able to kill him near the church anyway, so I won't allow you to put yourself at risk following him there. You also need to be careful around the estate itself. It sounds like it's well guarded, based on some mentions of security that Sevelia made. You can seek out the Red Witch at her hovel if you need some sort of insight to make it easier for you to linger in the area. I've told her to expect you there today.
Yes, my lord.
Ash sighed and traced her soft fingers along my jaw.
What have you got planned today?
Work, I said as I trailed my own fingers around her glittering nipples, and I smirked as they instantly puckered at my touch. Things to sort out in the office, but I'll mostly be focusing on a group of undesirables Sevelia mentioned last night. I might need to make a stop off to see our favorite black fairy, seeing as she knows everyone around here.
I think I'd rather visit the fairies than track down the priest,
Ash muttered under her breath.
That sounds like more fun. Couldn't you pay the fairies to do the stalking anyway?
I could, but you are the only one I trust more than any other in this world, I murmured, and I stooped to pull her perked nipple into my mouth. Ash moaned softly as I trailed my tongue around the delicious bud, and when I released her, her breaths were coming in shallow gasps. I nipped at her a couple more times to make her cheeks turn pink, and once I was sure I had her attention, I continued. Imagine how much fun you'll have sneaking through the trees of this sainted city and listening in on every conversation the holy fucker shares. I whispered, and Ash bit her lip and nodded. Imagine how good it will feel to know I'm very, very pleased with you, and that you've stalked your prey so well for me.
It'll feel so good. I love to please you, Atticus.
Good girl, I murmured, and I kissed her nipple once more as a reward. You'll get more from me once you've completed your mission to my satisfaction. Understood?
I can't wait.
Now get up. We have work to do. Ash giggled as I gave her bare ass a firm slap, and I admired the red mark I left behind while we both dressed in fresh clothing that wasn't torn or covered in vampire blood. Due to the fight with the demon, Ash was back down to having a small amount of dresses to choose from, but she mentioned returning to the elf's dress shop to purchase some more soon. For now, she settled on wearing a dark purple dress, her black cape, fishnet stockings, and her black knee-high boots. The attire complemented her icy pale skin and delicious figure perfectly, but she still waited for me to nod my approval before she did a twirl and began fixing her tousled silver hair. I had a stock of the Dark Elves clothing that came with the manor, so I raked through the wardrobe and came across a black shirt, a dark green velvet jacket, and a pair of black pants. I was pleased to find the scent of the elves had almost entirely faded from the clothing at last. Something about wandering around smelling like a fucking dark elf had pissed me off for weeks now. We dined on a hearty breakfast of meat, apples, and grapes, and then we left the manor to conduct our day's work. We parted ways once we reached the fire beacons at the edge of the Grimway, and Ash headed in the direction of Ravenshade, while I followed the alleys that led to Medusa's palace. This was the safest path for me to take without coming across the more crowded areas of the Shadow Quarters, and given all that had gone down in the last few days, this seemed like the smartest choice. Madame Neera's coven wasn't far from the old castle ruins of the Gorgons anyway, and I knew she'd be the best person for me to consult next. The aged fairy knew the ins and outs of every living creature throughout Rangfree, and I'd realized in the last couple of weeks that if she didn't know something, then it probably wasn't worth my time finding out about. But today, I needed to know more about the werewolves, and I had a feeling Madame Neera would definitely have something to say about a group like this. I was nearing the final corner, with only one street to cross before I arrived at the hidden manor of the Black Fairies, when I came to a halt. A distinct, high-pitched giggle echoed from somewhere nearby, and I instantly knew who the laugh belonged to. It shouldn't have been a surprise that this little being had been following me for some time. Sprinkles, the tinsel fairy, then fluttered free from her hiding spot and smiled at me with a wide, mischievous grin. Tinsel fairies were some of the smallest breed of fairies found in the Shadow Quarters, and had it not been for the giant white wings, I probably wouldn't have noticed the small woman. She looked to be only slightly taller than my forearm, and her wide blue eyes glistened in the sunlight, Her long brown hair had been tied up haphazardly on top of her tiny head, and her straight fringe was styled neatly over her forehead and around her pointed ears.
"Fancy seeing you here!"
Sparkles greeted me. Her white wings fluttered behind her.
"Yes, what a surprise,"
I deadpanned.
"I've been following you for a while. You get up to some really interesting things."
"Those things are private,"
I said as I continued to walk, and the tinsel fairy flew delicately beside me.
"You mean as private as slaughtering an entire pack of vampires?"
she asked with a knowing look.
"That doesn't sound too private to me."
"I should have known you of all people would find out about that." I snickered and shook my head.
"I know lots of things,"
Sparkles smirked.
"Like how you went to one of my favorite taverns in Pixie Lane with a pretty red witch. You should be careful where you go with her. Eyes everywhere and all that."
"Thanks for the information," I muttered, but I leveled the fairy with a hard stare. "I don't suppose I need to warn you that if anyone finds out about that witch, then you will just have to pray your wings can regrow themselves, because I will fucking shred them with my teeth and leave you to rot in a gutter somewhere."
The tinsel fairy's tiny face glowed violet in the light of my eyes, and her own huge eyes bulged at the words. I'd never felt the need to threaten Sparkles, but if she'd been finding out information that could get me or the Red Witch killed, then I had to make sure she knew what she risked by lurking around like that.
"I'm not going to tell anyone,"
she squeaked with an insulted scowl.
"Whatever you and Flaky do in your spare time is nothing to do with me. I just have big eyes, all right? I see shit, damn."
I smirked at her nickname for Ash, but then I continued walking along.
"But I did want to make it clear the incubi are sure to find out who killed the vampires. They made a lot of money from the vampires' blood-dealing organization, and they'll be pissed when their payments run dry. So pissed. Like, you cannot imagine how pissed."
"I'm sure I could," I chuckled, and a devilish grin spread across my face. "But I'm already aware of the incubi's power, and I know we need to be careful. But I appreciate you letting me know. Just stop fucking following me around when I work."
"Oh, but it's so much fun! You're so evil and handsome, and even the way you walk is like, rawr, I'll fucking tear you to pieces! I'll break your skull and feed you to my sexy playmate! Unless you're a woman, and then I'll slam my big, thick cock so deep in your pussy that you'll beg to get pregnant!"
I slowed down and stared at the tinsel fairy while she kept on trying to throw her squeaky voice into a demon range. But then she noticed the stern look on my face, and she rolled her huge eyes.
"Okay, fine. I'll leave you in Flaky B. But if I feel like you're up to some super evil shit, then I will have no choice but to stalk you, because you know I love me some demon trouble. So much blood! So much rawr, I am demon!"
"I'm sure you'll know exactly where to find me."
"Duh! Follow the sound of wailing death, or just look for smoke in pretty purple eyes. Easy!"
Sparkles laughed like a fucking lunatic as her wings began to buzz rapidly, and she jetted into the air and flew away while I shook my head. "Twisted little fairy," I muttered and continued on my way. Still, I appreciated the heads up, even though I'd heard plenty of warnings about the incubi by now. My only concern was Sparkles knowing about my meetings with Sevelia. But as long as she kept her tiny mouth shut, then my plan should be safe for now. I double-checked the surrounding area to make sure no one else had overheard the conversation, but Madame Nira's street was deserted as always, and I came to a stop at the end of the lane. The Black Fairy's manor house sat between two other houses, but it was completely hidden behind a magical and invisible veil that made it appear as if there was nothing but an abandoned yard here. Only a black fairy could touch the veil to reveal the gray mist and what was hidden beyond, but otherwise it kept their manor out of sight at all times, which allowed the fairies to remain safe
despite all the mischief they constantly got into.
I had grown fond of the coven of black fairies, and Madame Neera had grown fond of me and Ash, too. Before she'd given us the all-clear, I used to have to find another fairy in order to get through the veil, but now that everyone within Madame Neera's coven knew I was a favorite of hers, I simply had to stand in front of the clearing and wait. A fairy would soon see me from inside and let me in, and less than a minute after I arrived today, a gray veil appeared like a wavering curtain of fog. A small, olive-skinned fairy appeared just on the other side, too, and she pushed open a large iron gate before she curled her finger to beckon me through.
"Good morning, Atticus,"
the fairy greeted me once I joined her. "Good morning. Is Madame Neera inside?"
"Oh, she certainly is, and I know she'll be over the moon to see you here."
The fairy smiled and then skipped up the stone steps that led to the main door. The manor reminded me of the vampire's manor, with the ancient architecture, but the exterior was jet black, and every window was covered with intricately spun cobwebs that almost looked decorative. Inside, the purple walls of the entranceway had been lit up by a large amount of candles, some of which had melted straight down to the base and dripped wax all over the floor. Velvet seats were displayed against every wall, and a few sultry-looking fairies had relaxed back on the furniture. They all wore scraps of scandalous clothing, and one fairy barely had enough material to cover her nipples. A strip of cloth slightly larger than this one covered her ass, and the way she laid herself out on the couch made it hard to tell exactly how much had been left to the imagination. I was led down the hallway toward the office, and then my fairy guide slipped behind a dark green velvet curtain to announce my arrival. The curtain was pulled open a few seconds later to reveal Madame Neera. She was much older than the others, but it was clear she'd been a beauty in her day, and her clothing covered more of her skin, but it was still less than Ash wore, which said a lot. Madame Neera's hair was long and dark, and speckles of gray spread out from the roots. Her wings were just as large and black as the other fairies, but they were more ragged and tattered from age, so long scraps of gauzy wing bits dangled down behind her.
"Atticus, my darling,"
Madame Neera grinned.
"Come in, come in."
I followed the fairy further into the grand room and over to the oak desk where she completed her business. Another green velvet curtain ran from one wall to the other behind the desk, but I'd never seen what she kept on the other side. She'd once slipped behind the curtain to retrieve the fairy twins, so I had images of a group of sultry fairies all kept hidden in the darkness as they waited for their time to shine. I sat down opposite Madame Neera and instantly noticed the spare chair beside me. I'd always made these trips with Ash, so it was strange to visit the manor by myself.
"Now, my love, tell me what has brought you here today."
The fairy began the conversation. "I need some more information." Before I could say any more than that, the green curtain behind her began to move, and the fairy twins sauntered into the room. Their gray eyes lit up with excitement when they saw me, and I noticed they both had their dark hair in the same identical braid over one shoulder. Absolutely everything else about them was identical too, and even if I had known their names, which I didn't, I probably wouldn't have the ability to tell them apart anyway.
"Atticus,"
one twin purred.
"Oh, it's been so long,"
the other sister whined.
"We missed you so much."
It had only been a couple of days since we'd last seen them, but that must have felt like an age for these two. The twins strolled over to me like a pair of sexy cats on the prowl, and they perched themselves down on each of my knees without any invitation. The twin on the left began to twiddle my hair around her fingers, while the twin on the right stroked my cheek with a curled finger, and I grinned in pleasant surprise at the treatment. I'd never had the fairies all over me like this before, and I instantly thought of Ash and how she'd wish she was here to enjoy the view. I made a mental note to give her every little detail later, but for now, I just decided to enjoy myself while I was here. With two sexy black fairies perching their bare asses on my lap.
Now, now, my darlings.
Madame Nira clapped her hands to bring the twins to attention.
Please do not distract young Atticus. You may sit in on the conversation, but do try to keep your hands to yourself.
It's okay. I chuckled and slipped my hands to the twins' waists. I don't mind the company. But are you two finally going to tell me your names?
Lixis.
The left twin murmured, and she licked her blood-red lips real slowly.
And I'm Lux.
The other purred, and she pressed her arms together just enough to plump up her warm brown cleavage.
They never stop talking about you.
The madame smirked.
He's so tempting.
Lixis giggled.
We've been dying to get our hands all over him.
Lux agreed.
Regardless, Atticus is a paying customer. You may do as you please, but do not interrupt our work.
Yes, Madame Nira.
The twins murmured in unison, and they smiled down at me with lusty eyes. It didn't take a mind reader to work out what was going on inside their heads. I'd once teased the twins about having a foursome with Ash and I, and I'd caught them lurking around, eyeing me like this, from treetops, alleyways, and all else ever since. So I smirked and pulled the pair a little higher up my thighs, and they giggled as they carried on petting me all over.
Please, Atticus, continue.
Madame Nira motioned with her hand. I paused for a moment before I continued to talk. I assumed the twins wouldn't go behind Madame Nira's back and discuss anything that was said in this room, but it was still right to be wary of them.
Can I trust you two to hold your pretty little tongues? I asked the sexy twins in my lap.
Oh, our tongues are at your disposal.
Good, I said with a devilish smirk. Then I turned my attention to Madame Nira.
I need to know about the werewolves. I don't know much about the pack you have around here, but I'm sure you do.
Madame Nira laughed with one hand over her chest. The wheezing, cackling noise filled the room and echoed around me in the air for what felt like a full minute. But then she finally swiped her teary eyes and calmed down a little.
Oh, please don't kill those ones, Atticus. I know that's one thing you're into, but these guys are important to Rangfree.
Important how?
Same as most. They help to provide the city with an illegal good, but this one no one else can offer.
She said with a pointedly arched eyebrow.
Can you tell me what these goods are?
Amethysts. Do you know much about these stones?
Yes, I know enough. I nodded.
I'd heard of the potentially dangerous properties amethysts provided, as well as magical properties. They were powerful stones to have at hand, and could be incredibly useful, but due to the danger they could cause, they had been listed as an illegal good in most places on the surface world. Amethysts had the power to heal all wounds, but they also had the ability to diminish someone's health, depending on how the stone was used. I could use it to save a friend or kill a foe, and I could do that in more than one way. Depending on the strength behind the person channeling the stone, the wielder of an amethyst could pick how to kill someone. It could be a poisonous gas in the air, or something more physical, like pus-filled boils, or blocking off a victim's air supply with just the stone alone.
How do the werewolves manage to be the only ones with the amethysts around here? I asked with a frown.
Amethyst can't be found within 100 miles of Rangfree. The werewolves are the only ones who have the resources to get their paws on them, which is exactly why you cannot kill them. If you kill them, the majority of Rangfree will be fixing to kill you.
I muttered and thought this over. I'd hoped it wouldn't be as difficult as this to deal with the werewolves. Sevelia's life was at risk, and the werewolves would stop at nothing to see her as dead as the priest once they were let free. I needed to make sure they wouldn't touch her, but I wasn't sure how I could do that without ending their lives entirely. Had it not been for the gemstones they provided the city, my mission would have been a breeze.
Well, fuck. I sighed and fondled the twins' hips a bit. Do you think I could bargain with these guys? I don't want to kill them if it'll be an utter pain in my ass, but I know someone who could end up getting into serious trouble with the werewolves real soon.
Do you mean the Red Witch?
Madame Nera smirked. I narrowed my eyes at the Black Fairy, and I decided she really did just know everything. Yes, her. I adjusted the way I sat in the chair, and the twins shuffled their asses even closer to my groin. Lixis continued to play with my hair in slow, sensual strokes, but Lux had now moved her hand so it sat on the base of my neck while she traced her fingers over my chest.
I'm well aware of the trouble the witch has gotten herself into, especially with the wolves. Those men are pissed for what she's done to them. I know it wasn't her choosing, but I don't think they believe that.
She mentioned something about them going after the priest if they were set free.
I think it'll be a difficult choice for them to make, whether to go for the witch or the priest. That's how much they hate that pretty little thing.
What could I do to persuade them otherwise? Madame Nera thought it over for a minute, and she shuffled some papers around her desk as she continued to think. Her sexy twins kept me mostly distracted while I waited, but Sevilia's safety was at the forefront of my mind now, so I hardly noticed their soft sighs and the way they slowly rocked their hips against my lap now and then.
I don't know if trying to bargain with the werewolves is such a good idea, but I know what you're like. I can certainly tell you where you'll find them, but even if I told you not to go, you'd probably do it anyway.
I would. I won't let any harm come to the witch.
Is that right?
Madame Nera arched a slim eyebrow again, and the twins on my lap sent me jealous pouts.
So, she's a new favorite with you, then?
She's nothing to me as far as you're concerned, I said with a grin.
Very well, then. Are you aware of the slums on the opposite side of the village?
The poorer area, where the incubi banished creatures once they took over the Shadow Quarters?
That's the one.
She nodded. Then yes, I know where it is. The poorer section, or the slums, as Madame Nera called it, was where the kobold, tabaxi, and the dwarf woman lived. From what I'd heard, they weren't supposed to leave that area of the village due to the incubi's commands, and now they lived a life of forced poverty, despite the strength and power they all held.
Well, if you travel through the slums and down the alleyway that runs behind the houses, you'll come across the outer forest where the Great Wall ends. The werewolves are kept just in there.
How far into the forest are they? I frowned. It's not the safest place for me and Ash to venture into.
I'm aware,
the old fairy said with a slight bow of her head.
I would not send you into such danger, so fear not, my darling. The wolves are kept in a house on the outskirts of the trees, not within them. If you were to visit them, which I highly advise that you don't, you wouldn't need to set foot into the forest itself.
Thank you. And while I'm sure approaching the werewolves doesn't sound like a wise move to make, it may be the only option I have.
It's not that it isn't a wise move. We're talking about the difference between life and death. If you want to stop the entire population of Rang Free coming after you if this thing goes south, then you'll reconsider your options.
I'll take that into consideration.
Please do.
Madame Nera purred, and she leaned on the desk with her palm held out while she waited for her payment. I smirked as I slid her sexy fairies off my lap, and I stood from my seat and brought out a healthy supply of pieces from my pocket. I didn't count every individual coin, but there looked to be somewhere in the region of 70 pieces, and Madame Nera accepted the amount without complaint.
Will you show Atticus to the door, my darlings? It would be our pleasure,
Lux said with a sultry wink.
That is, if we have the strength to part with him,
Lixis giggled. The twins took one arm each and walked me to the curtain as they kept their bodies up tight against me, and they led me out into the corridor and to the door. I was tempted to say I knew my way out from there, but they clearly enjoyed the brief walk with me, and I wasn't about to shrug off their company.
The twins' corseted breasts jiggled in my line of sight with every step they took, and their warm brown skin gave off a scent that was sweet in a creamy way, but also a little spicy. There was an obvious dose of lust sprinkled in there, too, and I decided I was going to have a lot of fun stringing these two beauties along. Then I'd fucking ravage them once I couldn't resist the temptation for another moment.
When will we see you again?
The left twin pouted up at me. I'm not sure, I shrugged. I'm a busy demon.
I hope it's soon,
the right one replied.
My sister and I hate going a day without seeing that handsome face of yours. Perhaps we should give him a parting gift, Lixis,
the fairy on my left suggested.
To remember us by. Ooh, Lux, I like that idea,
her sister half moaned. Then Lux pulled me to a stop, spun me to face her, and brought her delicate hands up to caress my face.